24, young for his rank. He was 6 feet 1 inches tall, weighed 185 pounds, and was broad-shouldered and slim-waisted. He had sharp features, intelligent eyes, and wore his light brown hair just long enough to part. At one time, it had been seriously proposed that Staff Sergeant Howard be used as a model for the photographs in a new edition of the Handbook for Marines. The Handbook for Marines was issued to every enlisted Marine. Many officers, including most company-grade officers, also had copies. Among its many illustrations were photographs of a Marine modeling the various service uniforms. A good Marine was supposed to look like that. Similarly, there were photographs showing the correct way to execute the manual of arms and the various movements in close-order drill. Staff Sergeant Joe Howard, in one of his perfectly fitting uniforms, with his erect carriage and broad shoulders, looked exactly like the perfect Marine. Joe Howard had been a Marine for 7 years and 6 months. He had enlisted right out of high school on what was called a baby cruise, a term of enlistment which extended to his 21st birthday. The regular term of enlistment was 4 years. At that point, he turned 21 on August 14, 1937, he was given the choice of being transferred to the Fleet Reserve, in effect discharged, or shipping over for a regular 4-year enlistment. For most of his baby cruise, Howard served with the Marine Detachment on board the battleship Arizona, and he won promotion to Private First Class at the recommendation of her captain, who had been impressed with his bearing and appearance when Howard had served as his orderly. After leaving Arizona, he was assigned to the Philadelphia Navy Yard. At the Navy Yard, a salty old gunnery sergeant took a liking to him, had him assigned to the arms locker as an armorer, and taught him how to shoot. Really shoot. Not only well enough to qualify for the extra pay that went with the expert rifleman qualification badge, but well enough to shoot competitively. He almost made it onto the East Coast Rifle Team, one step down from the U.S. Marine Corps Rifle Team, and he was fairly confident that he could make it the next time around. Gunny McFarland also got him a job as an off-duty bartender in the Officers Club, working Friday and Saturday nights and for the luncheon buffet on Sunday. That 30 cents an hour added enough to his PFC's $30 a month, supplemented by his $5 a month expert rifleman's pay, to permit him to buy a Ford Model A. In August of 1937, he had to choose between getting out of the Corps and taking his chances on Civvy Street, where jobs were hard to come by, particularly if you didn't have a trade, or shipping over, which meant a dollar and a dime a day, plus uniforms, 3 square meals a day, and a place to sleep out of the rain. That's what Joe had told his mother. But there was more to it than that. Not only were there other material advantages, like being paid to do something you liked to do, shooting, and the opportunities for travel that went with being a competitive rifle shooter and things like that, but there was also the chance to make something of himself. And just being a Marine. Gunny McFarland told him that with his record, and providing he kept his nose clean, it was almost a sure thing that he would make corporal before his second hitch was up, maybe even sooner than that, say in 2 years. Joe Howard knew that Gunny McFarland was bullshitting him to get him to ship over. In 2 years, he would be 23. There were very few 23-year-old corporals in the Marines. In 1937, the Corps had an authorized strength of only 25,000 officers and men, which meant that nobody moved up in rank very fast. His chances of making corporal on his second hitch were almost non-existent. But it was more than a little flattering to have McFarland bullshit him in order to get him to ship over and stay in the Corps. McFarland was one hell of a Marine, and to know that McFarland wanted him to stay in the Corps meant that McFarland thought he had at least the potential to be a good